the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast, best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site covering, of course, your Arizona Cardinals for episode 606. This is the first of two preview shows for week 8 as the Cardinals are on the road to take on the Miami Dolphins, sitting at 2-4, the Cardinals at 3-4. And to the first of our two shows is our behind enemy. It's our opponent preview. And a guy we had on just a few months ago, Adam Stites from the Dolphins Wire. Adam, thanks for coming back on. And we get to talk Cardinals-Dolphins. Both teams with higher expectations than have had results on the field, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I think there's a, you know, it's been a pretty tumultuous season for the Dolphins, to say the least. But I think there's optimism that the expectations can still be reached to some degree now that things are maybe headed in the right direction with Tua Tagovailoa back.
So let's talk about what, from your perspective, someone covering the team, when Tua went down, how scary was that? I mean, I know there's been a lot made of this nationwide, the question why, whether he should play, continue playing or not. I know that's not a fair question to ask him to do. And I like what he said. I'm like, guys, it's football. We're at risk every time we take the field. But how was that when he got hurt again?
Yeah.
What did that do for you, and what did that do for the team?
Yeah, I think everybody had their kind of their hands up in the air. We didn't know what to think of it. You know, he's not the first guy to get concussed more than once on the football field, but his concussions have been kind of
scary. They're scary looking.
Right. His have looked different. And, you know, he got concussed multiple times a couple years ago and talked about pretty honestly about he considered retirement. So I think Dolphins players, fans, everybody around that kind of is aware of the fact that, you know, if this keeps happening, it could be the end. So I think there was that question. Is this just a quick recovery, or is this it? So I think everybody was just kind of, you know, hands up in the air and not really know what to think. And at the very least, I think everybody thought it was a significant enough issue that it was going to really sideline the team for a good bit. So
and coming after he signed his massive contract, you're like, what, really now?
Right. And that was kind of that was a big talking point during the contract negotiations, is even beyond just the concussions from 2 years ago, injuries have been an issue for him in general. So that was
dating back to his days at Alabama.
Sure. That's the concussion, the hip, all were on like one moment at Alabama. So, that was part of the discussion, was whether or not he's somebody that you can feel comfortable dealing all this guaranteed money to, and having confidence that you're going to have him on the field for 16, 17 games a year.
But then you also look at how vastly different this team looks with Tua and without Tua. And then you're like, well, I guess what else do we do, right? Because Dolphins with Tua, fun. The Dolphins without Tua, dumpster fire offensively.
Right. I think there's been a lot of talk over the last 2.5 years about whether or not Mike McDaniel has a system quarterback in there that anybody could go in there and run it. And I don't think it requires a ton of physical ability to run his offense, but it does require a lot of timing, a lot of orchestration, a lot of getting the ball out very quickly, intelligence. And Tua is the guy for that.
He's a perfect fit for what McDaniels does.
And it's not something where you can just find a guy on the street who's going to jump in and be able to do it. They ran through three different guys, and it was pretty clear on all fronts that none of them could do it even remotely close to the way Tua runs it.
And last year they had the fantastic, he had that full season, led the NFL in passing. The Dolphins offense was great. Before he went down, before he suffered the concussion, those first couple of weeks of the season, obviously week one did not go the way I thought it was when they took a last second field goal to beat, was it Jacksonville that first week. Even before he got hurt, how different did the offense look at the start of the season?
It seemed like they just needed to kind of find their momentum. But yeah, like you said, that Jaguars game, it was up and down. I think the big difference about that Jaguars game, which we haven't seen since, is that they had an 80-yard touchdown down the left sideline to Tyreek Hill, and then they had a big 56-yard play to Jalen Waddle across the right side of the field. And the explosives have been absent completely. So the even in that week one, they definitely stumbled quite a bit. They had a lot of issues, and then it was even worse in week two against Buffalo. I mean, they were down 21 points when Tua got hurt. And he threw a pick six. That was his third pick of the game. So they it's not like this was a well-oiled machine before he went down, but when you can occasionally hit an 80-yard play, it changes things. You can keep yourself in a game. Those have been gone completely, and now every little illegal shift, holding penalty is just a
devastating.
Devastating.
Ever. Like right. you have barely a chance to stay on schedule on offense without any mistakes. Yeah. And then you get a bit, I suffered through the 2018 Cardinals, and that was, you know, if a team literally got a touchdown, if they got more than 7 points ahead, you knew it was over. There was absolutely no chance that they could come back. It was completely demoralizing. But so with that, Tua back this week, how much is made right just by having him in the lineup? Even if he's, you know, obviously he's going to be rusty, you'd think, right?
Yeah, I mean, he said that he said he's been symptom free since the day after it happened, and he said he's been throwing ever since. So physically, I don't know. He might be fine. He might be ready to go. But you got to imagine the timing isn't quite there. You know, they haven't been working together, haven't been allowed to work together. So, I think you have to expect some degree of rust. I think that the immediate better part is just the operations of the offense. They had a game, I think it was the week five, they had five illegal shift penalties in that game alone.
Oh my gosh.
Because they're just not sending guys at the right time without Tua in there orchestrating it. So I think if you just get just having the offense running the way it's kind of supposed to be ran, could make a huge difference. And if they can occasionally hit up deep ball, I mean, this last game, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle each caught their first respective passes after the 2-minute warning in the fourth quarter. Like, there's just they've been completely non-factors. So if you can just get them in space a little bit, that could be a big difference. So I don't know if it's fair to expect them to come out and be their 400 yards a game kind of offense, but if they can just kind of clean things up,
But they also shouldn't be a 250 yard, 10 point offense.
Exactly. I mean, I think there's, it's kind of hard to justify getting less than 20 points a game out of an offense that has Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Devon, like Raheem Mostert. It's just a loaded offense. You have to imagine you can just get the ball in people's hands and let them do some stuff.
But the second you go with a Skylar Thompson or with a Tim Boyle, that talent, just suddenly, like when you don't get competent quarterback play, no matter how much talent you have, you're just like, and that's, I'm sure that's been like, if you had, if the Dolphins had some sort of reasonably seasoned veteran backup who has some starting experience, say like a Desmond Ridder, the Cardinals had on the practice squad all year, and now he just signed with the Raiders. How much more successful? Ridder is not an exciting quarterback by any means, but he does a few things. Would you imagine that 2-4 that they're looking at, you'd be at least a game better?
Yeah, I mean, yes, absolutely. I think this last game against Indianapolis was kind of an inexcusable loss. They really shut down. I mean, Anthony Richardson completed like a third of his passes. I mean, he was terrible. The Dolphins offense has been able to kind of run the ball at times. That the closest they looked like a competent offense in New England, they ran the ball six straight times on an 80-yard game-winning drive. So the pieces are all there, and the quarterbacking just hasn't been. And yeah, like you said, that there's competent backups out there that they just kind of ignored. I mean, it wasn't like this came out of nowhere when they had they went into the training camp with Skylar Thompson and Mike White just looking awful every single day and preseason looking terrible, and they just dealt with it. I mean, we saw Washington, they lost Jaden Daniels on their first drive of the game. Marcus Mariota comes in and drops 40 points. There are guys out there. Marcus, yeah. I mean, imagine Marcus Mariota taking over for Tua in these last 4 weeks. I think they could easily win two of those instead of one. I mean, yeah, I think it was a huge, huge oversight thinking that you could just ride it out with Skylar Thompson as if you got, you know, this indestructible quarterback at starting and able to just replace him with anybody. I think it was a huge oversight.
So let's look at the defensive side of the ball, because that has been a surprisingly good unit. They're number four in yards allowed. And if we look at just the total yards, they've given up under 300 yards in five of their six games. How good, and this is after you guys lost Christian Wilkins. You had Jalen Phillips go down again. What is it about this defense, or is it partially fool's gold simply because opponents don't have to do much? Tell me from that perspective. When you've got an opponent, when you've got a team that doesn't score points, you can slow your offense down significantly. The Dolphins are number one against the pass, but again, against teams you're ahead of, you don't necessarily need to pass the ball. So tell me, how much of it is circumstance and how much of it is a good defense?
I think the defense has kept them in games. There's no doubt about it. And I think it has played much better than expectations. I think Anthony Weaver has put together a real scheme that has caused a lot of issues for defenses, for offenses. But yes, one, teams are definitely just trying to grind things out against the Dolphins. Like you said, they're number one against the pass, but no team has faced fewer pass attempts. I think they also have been kind of at times given a tough hand by their offense. No team is, I mean, I think they're 30th in field position. Opposing teams are starting on the 34 yard line against them. So that's part of it. But a huge thing in their favor has been the teams they've played. The last three weeks, they went against Anthony Richardson.
The Patriots are terrible.
Patriots were terrible.
Titans are no good.
Will Levis came in, throws a pick on his first drive of the game against the Dolphins, then gets hurt in Will Levis fashion, and Mason Rudolph came in. So they've faced far from a gauntlet of quarterbacks. It's been a pretty easy road so far. So they still got another Josh Allen game on the way, and he carved them up. Two Aaron Rodgers games on the way. I think we may see those passing yards start to stack up on them a little bit, especially because they have a serious issue rushing the passer.
I was just looking at that, and only 9 sacks on the season.
And they're not coming from their pass rushers either. Almost all of those sacks are coming from defensive linemen kind of collapsing pockets.
Hey, that sounds like the Cardinals, who have 14 sacks and six of them come from their defensive interior, and three of them come from the guy who just tore his ACL.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, they have Bradley Chubb. They're hoping they get him back at some point this year. He's still recovering from the ACL tear he suffered last year. Jalen Phillips came back from his Achilles and then tore his knee up, and so he's done for the year. Emmanuel Ogba has been kind of a pleasant surprise. He got cut earlier this year. They brought him back, and he's been pretty good, but he missed last week because of an injury, and he's still dealing with it. He's on the injury report again. So it's been largely up to Chop Robinson, their first-round pick, to play a lot more snaps than I think they initially intended for him to, and he has no sacks.
He has said as many sacks as we do.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not ideal.
No, and I think it's frustrating. It has a few Dolphins fans frustrated. I think that's a little unfair. I think the idea was that he was going to be this kind of a curveball as a rookie who
right.
goes out there for 15 snaps a game at 100 miles per hour. Instead, he's now their like number one path outside linebacker and just kind of expected to be a force against the run and make plays in the against the pass. And I don't think he's there yet. It doesn't mean he's not going to get there. It's just a lot for a rookie to take on.
So in terms of rush defense, they've given up 100 yards or more in every game. Now, the low hundreds is five, but it's their last three games have been 142, 151, and 155. Is the rush defense a problem?
I think that kind of goes hand-in-hand with the pass defense looking deceptively great, is that the mm-hmm. rush defense, they're just getting grinded on a little bit late in these games. Those run defenses look good most of the game, and then late it kind of falls apart. Calais Campbell, somebody I'm sure you guys are pretty familiar with.
Love Calais Campbell.
Who doesn't?
He played in the Cardinals Super Bowl as a rookie. Been around forever.
He's been around forever, and I think they signed him hoping to get 25 snaps a game out of him, maybe. Instead, he's been maybe their best defensive lineman. He's still making plays in the backfield nonstop, yeah. But you're asking him to play deep into the fourth quarter, and you just start seeing the defense start fall apart late in these games. I think they just sort of get grinded out. So I think the run defense is better than it looks. If the offense was putting up yards and opposing teams were attacking with more balanced attacks, I think we'd see this run defense is more average. I don't think it's a bottom 10 unit.
Do you think so? Before we move on to this particular matchup, what right now do you believe are Miami's greatest strengths, and what do you think will, like, how much better offense? I already asked you that question, but aside from Tua being gone, what have been the good, if any good things at all, about what the Dolphins have done so far this year?
I think it's the offensive line. Everybody thought was going to be a massive issue. They let Robert Hunt walk in free agency, didn't really replace him at all. They let Connor Williams walk in free agency, and they signed Aaron Brewer, who was a up and down player in Tennessee, to take over at center. And the reality is the offensive line's been actually pretty good. It's been a pretty middle of the pack group. The left side of the line, Teron Armstead, is putting together a fantastic year. Aaron Brewer has been pretty stellar. The right side of the line has been a little bit weak, but not so bad that you can't work with it. So that's the good news. And it's kind of stunning that they've been so terrible considering the weapons and the offensive line, but that's been a positive. And I think getting Tua's quick release back is going to help that unit look even better. And then defensively, yeah, I think Anthony Weaver's scheme is really proven to be a pretty tough puzzle for opposing offenses to figure out. They've been able to, given a pretty rough hand, force a lot of third down stops. They're very, very good on third down. They've been able to force a lot of negative plays and put teams in rough spots where they have to convert long third downs, and they haven't been able to do it. So, given the pass rushing deficiency, I think the defense has actually been really good, thanks a lot to a pretty strong secondary and a pretty good front that has been making enough plays in the backfield to create issues.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Seared podcast, Pissarf Cardinals talk a little bit. We want to talk about the individual matchups. What's coming up in week 8, Cardinals, Dolphins, keys to game, individual matchups that we're looking for. That's coming up next on Rise Up Seared. We're back on the Rise Up Seared podcast, Pissarf Cardinals talk on the web, talking to Adam Stites from the Dolphins Wire, managing editor over there, as we preview Cardinals, Dolphins in week 8. As we look at this game, how do you see this team matching up? The Cardinals have a defense I don't understand. They went and did what they did against, now granted, I will say this, the pass offense, not good against the Chargers, but the Chargers were a run-first team. The Cardinals have not been able to stop the run all year, and they completely shut down J.K. Dobbins. They completely shut that down, and honestly, we're very, very fortunate on a couple of plays. That said, how do you see the Cardinals matching up against this Dolphins team? They have underperformed offensively, and their defense has been wildly inconsistent. Like, because we looked at 4 touchdown passes to Jordan Love, they got boat raced by the Commanders, but they also held the 49ers scoreless in the second half of their game. They held the Lions scoreless in the second half of their game and kept the Chargers completely out of the end zone this last week. What do you see when you look at this Cardinals opponent?
I think the big thing that most in Miami are highlighting are Kyler Murray's legs. Running quarterbacks have eaten this team alive for quite a while. And the Colts, as inefficient as Anthony Richardson was last week, on the plays where he would just tuck and run, they couldn't do a whole lot about it. He just was running through the defense quite a bit. It's when you don't have edge rushers who are able to kind of corral a quarterback, it's kind of, they're just going to start running free. So that's probably the big thing is, are they going to be able to stop him from getting loose? I mean, he's more than capable, as we've seen. So I think that's going to be the big thing for the Dolphins defense, especially they have some very good corners. Kendall Fuller and Jalen Ramsey have really held opposing receivers in check. So that's probably the big thing on that side of the ball.
What is how do they go against bigger explosive backs like a James Conner?
They've done pretty well against it. Opposing running backs haven't really ran through them with the exception of James Cook in week 2, the Bills. He kind of ate them up a good bit, especially early, but I think that happened because that Bills offense was able to keep them guessing. There was so much coming at them, and they were able to do so many different things that they were just the Dolphins defense was getting kind of carved up because it was a balanced attack headed their way. When a team is just leaning on a guy, the Dolphins defense has been able to make those stops. They got enough big physical guys up front. And even in the secondary, Jordan Poyer, Jalen Ramsey, those guys are more than game to come down to the line of scrimmage and make tackles. So, I think if the Cardinals can keep them balanced, then I think we probably see James Conner start to really pick up momentum against them.
Offensively, how much do you think that this week they will lean on the run, or will they really try to almost immediately open back up the passing game a bit for the Miami offense?
they are so wildly inconsistent with the with whether or not they decide to establish the run. There have been times where they just run and run and run and run and find a ton of success doing so. It saved the game for them against New England. They just leaned on the combo of Raheem Mostert and their rookie Jalen Wright, and they really just mowed through. And then there's been other times where they just won't run the ball at all, and even though they're finding success. So I think they've probably learned their lesson a good bit, that they've found success on the ground and it's helped them win games. And they have their full complement of running backs now. Mostert's healthy, Achane's healthy. And Jalen Wright has been a very pleasant surprise. So they got that trio. I think they probably won't try to put too much on Tua's plate in his first game back. So, yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of running the ball.
This should be interesting to see. I want to see if you know this, because it's something that if this is characteristic kind of the Shanahan influence. When the Cardinals played the 49ers, an interesting stat is that Jordan Mason didn't run the ball once against a stacked box with the Cardinals. But that was because Shanahan plays the numbers game. And so if they see a stacked box, they automatically swap to pass. Is McDaniel the same thing, or will they still, if they see numbers in the box, will they check to a pass play? Is that philosophically something that they do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you saw it even when it wasn't Tua in the offense. They're going to try to, go to where the defense tells them is the move. And that's, it didn't work without Tua, because I think a lot of defenses were just kind of baiting them into plays they couldn't make. I think if the Cardinals stack the box, they're going to throw the ball, and vice versa. If the box is open, then the ball is going to come up, come up the middle. So, I think that's absolutely the same philosophy as that Shanahan philosophy.
Which matchups are you most excited to see that you think will kind of be the difference-making matchups in this game?
I think Buda Baker is the type of player that creates issues for them. I don't match up, because he's far off the line of scrimmage that I don't know. I guess Buda Baker, Jonnu Smith would be a very interesting one. Mm-hmm. Jonnu Smith has been a huge part of the offense in the last couple of weeks. He was this new chess piece that everybody was excited to see, and he didn't really do much of anything for 3 or 4 weeks. And now suddenly he's a very valuable piece. He was their best player, no doubt about it, last week. So that's probably the one I'm most curious to see, is the middle of the field, whether or not they could take advantage against Buda Baker.
Who will it be? Ramsey, who's going to likely see the most work against Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Last year, he didn't move Jalen Ramsey around at all, and it was frustrating for Ramsey himself that he was stuck on one side. This year he gets a little bit, they've been using him in a lot of different ways. They've been blitzing him a lot. He was in the backfield twice last week. So I don't think they're going to have him shadow Marvin Harrison. I don't think they're going to have him chasing him. I think it'll probably be a few different corners on Harrison. I think Kendall Fuller will probably get a lot of work against him as well. I don't think they're going to scheme it up that way. I think they'll try to use Jalen Ramsey as a player who does a lot of things and be around the line of scrimmage. But I would imagine it's pretty balanced in the way they cover him.
When offensively does, just cause I don't see a lot of Dolphins stuff. So do Waddle and Hill move a lot in terms of the positions they play? Or are they fairly stable in terms of where they line up?
They move around a lot. There's a lot of motion into this offense. That's a big staple, especially with Tyreek. Tyreek Hill is very rarely stationary when the ball is snapped. They loved him all over the place. Fake it to him out of the backfield, or hand it to him, screen passes and swing passes. That's definitely a very big staple of their offense, is him moving around quite a bit. Waddle's usually a little bit more stationary, but yeah, you can't just assume he's going to be stationary. I think Waddle does a little bit more, but Waddle's more that traditional Y type of receiver who's just going to be split out wide and stay on his same role.
That appears that, well, the Cardinals, so Sean Murphy Bunting, one of their starters, he's dealing with a neck injury. I don't know what it'd be. So we might see a trio of Star Thomas, second-year undrafted player, Garrett Williams, second-year player, and Max Melton, rookie. That pair of receivers with the return of Tua, oh, that could be something fun and very tough to watch. Well, I mean, for you guys, for Dolphins fans, they must be like licking their chops to get that. And for Cardinals fans, this is going to be the big question mark, is how they can contain, how they, I am 100% sure that they'll probably not have many opportunities of guys on Tyreek Hill one-on-one. I hope. And I hope that they bracket him, and I hope they cover him that way. But I mean, you can't bracket both receivers. You can't really do that. So
I think, to be a little bit fair to the backups who couldn't get anything going, with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle have not been playing good football either. So that is probably a little bit of a factor here, is that they're just not. I mean, Jaylen Waddle suddenly has a case of the dropsies. Tyreek Hill had Tyler Huntley threw him a perfect ball about 40 yards downfield, and Tyreek just didn't see it and landed right in front of him last week. So, I think that's that. I think there's a little bit. They're not just bottled up waiting for somebody to finally get them the ball. They have been blowing opportunities when they've come their way. So that is a factor here, that maybe getting Tua back in there cleans things up, but they also need to clean their play up as well.
Yeah, I'm sure there's part of that. There's that little kind of, well, I'm not going to get the ball anyway, and so they don't lock in. And I bet that those guys are so excited to get Tua back in the lineup. So mm-hmm. I don't know what to think of this game, because I like to talk about, normally I look at the matchups like off the edge. I'm like, there's literally nothing to watch for the Cardinals edge guys against the Dolphins tackles. And it sounds like there's really not much to watch from the Dolphins edge guys against the Cardinals tackles either. So yeah. I mean, it'll be fun to see Calais Campbell go up against whoever lines up. Where does he mostly line up on the defensive line? Or does it kind of swap left side, right side? Does it change a lot?
He's usually it's a 3-4, so he's definitely got his hand on the ground, right around the right guard, right tackle. He's on the right side, and more often than not, it's not 100% of the time. But Zach Sealer is usually on the other side, off the left side of the offensive line.
Okay, so we'll get Evan Brown versus Zach Sealer and Tristan Colon / rookie Isaiah Adams against Calais. That should be interesting, to say the least. Let's go on to the last segment then. Coming up next on the Rise Up Seward podcast is best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's talk predictions, picks, and kind of think, what do we think is going to go down? That's coming next on Rise Up Seared. We're back on the Rise Up Seared podcast, the best our Cardinals talk on the web. Still talking with Adam Stites of the Dolphins Wire as we look into this final segment, making predictions. How do you see this game? Like right now, do you see, because I have no idea. I have no idea what to think of this, partially because I don't know what to think about the Cardinals anymore. It's a week-to-week proposition that makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I think it's really, I'm I'm at a kind of at a loss here as well, just because who knows what Tua is going to look like after 5 weeks of not even practicing with the team. So, and they were really not, it wasn't like this thing was humming on all cylinders before he got injured. So I think we see an uptick. It's hard to imagine the offense being worse. So you would think that they're going to take a step in the right direction. So I'm thinking 20-ish points from Miami, maybe 24 range. I don't think they're going to push it up into the 30-point range. I think that's asking a lot after
– Right.
After all this time off. So, I would say, like, I think it's going to be close, 24-21, 23-20 kind of game. I guess I'm leaning Miami just because I think –
The Tua factor's got to feel good. And just the fact that the Cardinals don't put two good games together in a row. They don't.
Yeah. And Miami's been all over the map, but for pretty obvious reasons. So, I don't know really what to expect. I think it'll be close. I think every Miami game seems to find a way to be ridiculous.
And I'm thinking the same thing, too. I wouldn't be surprised – I wouldn't be surprised to see a 31-17 Dolphins win. That said, I don't think that's going to happen. And maybe it's just the hopefulness in me. I'm going to say that Tua makes the Dolphins better, but not quite enough. And the Cardinals grind out a 23-20 win. And maybe it's Chad Ryland's third game-winning field goal of the season.
Wouldn't shock me. That whole scenario would not shock me at all. I think that first week one game was far more missed than hit for the Dolphins. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see a similar type of performance after being out of commission for 5 weeks.
Any statistical projections from your players? What do you think you'll see? From, like, if you had to pick who's going to have the biggest game?
I think Raheem Mostert is going to get a healthy amount of time. Devon Achane has kind of, he stepped into like a more of a starting role. Mostert was out for a stretch and Achane had a really strong start of the year running up the middle, but when they turned to him kind of full time and they were giving him 25 carries a game, he wasn't finding any momentum there. I think he's at his best when he's playing out of the slot and they're able to kind of give him 10 carries a game. I think now that they've kind of got their full group back, I think we see them lean on Mostert a lot more. And I think this is the type of matchup where he could maybe find success, especially since I don't think they're going to want to put too much on to his plate. So that's the guy I'm looking at. Maybe a 100-yard game with a touchdown or so.
I could see that because Mostert, in addition to, like, I think what the Cardinals have struggled with, because they'll do good, they'll do well in moments against the run, but guys like Mostert who have major explosiveness in addition to the work they can do inside will break free. Four things. And I think that's kind of like what they were able to do, is that the Chargers running game isn't explosive. It's consistent. Mm. And the Dolphins offense, it's kind of built off explosiveness. There's a level of consistency, but built into it is so much explosiveness and that's what the Cardinals try to avoid. They try to keep the ball from being thrown over their heads. And they try to avoid the explosive run plays. And even if it breaks free for a little bit, at least you're keeping things in front of it. So I can totally see that. I bet that there's going to be a big I bet there'll be at least one really big pass play for either Tyreek or Waddle. So, I think this will be a wildly close game. I think it'll be exciting. I am hopeful that the Cardinals show up to this one because Tua back in the lineup is a major thing. It's like we watched what the Cardinals did last year with Josh Dobbs and Clayton Tune and just how different the offense looked. Even when Kyler wasn't really knowing the offense, He hadn't had any full live reps. Just him in the lineup made things so much better.
Yeah.
And like you pair that with a defense that has been getting the job done largely. This is a hard game for me to predict. I'm gonna go with my heart and predict the Cardinals win, but I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they got smoked.
I think we're kind of on the same page here, is where I think it's probably a really close game, and I don't know who to pick. I'm leaning Miami just because the Tua factor, but yeah, it's, I don't know what to think of it.
Is this a, I know statistically this is kind of a turning point game because teams that hit 2-5 basically are done. And a loss for Miami would drop them to 2-5. But then you go to, okay, you've got the Bills on the road. You've got the Rams on the road who are now getting healthy. Then after that, like if you can, like Cardinals, Bills, Rams, if you pick up a couple of wins there and you improve to 3-5, when you then have a stretch against the Raiders and the Patriots again, you could even your record at 5-5 with 7 games to go. And even though it looks like they do have the Dolphins have a, they have a rough stretch in their final six, seven games that, but at least they'll put themselves back in the picture as opposed to losing to the Cardinals, likely losing, potentially losing to the Bills and dropping to 2-6 and the season's basically done.
I think there's a little bit of, maybe not a must win, but there's urgency, no doubt about it. I think the good thing for them is that the AFC doesn't have a lot of contenders for playoff spots. I mean, at 2-4, there's 6 teams in the AFC who are behind them right now. 7 make it. So, like, you know, there's not a whole lot of competition for those wild card spots right now. The Colts are in one of them. The Steelers are in another. The Bengals Colts are in the mix.
Colts don't look good. I don't know what the Colts are.
Yeah.
So they're not good. They're not good, though.
Yeah, so I think, like you said, like, just if the Dolphins just get like a couple wins, they're right in the middle of this mix. 2-4 is it. I think it's a little bit deceptively rough in this conference. I think it's not that bad. There is no NFC North beating all these.
The Bills haven't been world beaters. The Patriots are the Patriots, and the Jets are. Who knows what the Jets are doing? Who knows?
Right.
But
yeah, I mean, the Broncos are sitting in ahead of them 4-3, and I don't know how many people really believe in the Broncos. I don't know if I really believe in
Bo Nix is playing terribly.
Yeah. So it's just not a – it's not a very deep conference. So just if they get to – I mean, 8-9 might do it. Really. Oh, like, wow. So I don't think – you get to 8-9 and feel comfortable that like you're going to make it. But
if you're 8-9, make the postseason and you weathered a quarter of the season without your starting quarterback, you're okay.
That's right. So yeah, I don't think they're out of it. But there's urgency for sure. I mean, especially, you know, trade deadline coming up, you know, they lose the next 2 weeks and they're 2-6. I think you're thinking about the fact that you don't have much cap space next year and you've got a lot of aging veterans on your squad. So
yeah. Let's not worry about that. We got this game to go. And with that, the big thanks to Adam Stites over from the Dolphins Wire. Check out his stuff at the Dolphins Wire. You will see later in the week what he has to say as he takes us behind enemy lines for our written trade-off of questions. We'll have those later this week. But that'll wrap up this edition of the Rise of Syria podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Later this week, it depends on when we get the lines coming in. Seth and I will be back for our preview show with our preview picks, predictions, and prop bets. Until then, I'm Jess Root. That's Adam Stites. Thank you so much for listening. And check out Dolphins Wire. And, of course, go to cardswire.com. Thanks for listening, as always.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms, so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up, Sea Red.